Now let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 9. We're going to begin reading in verse 57. I encourage you to be here tonight. We're going to have communion in our evening service and just have a great time together. I made 38 quarts of ice cream, so somebody better be here tonight. Amen. It's piled up in the freezer. I tasted it this morning just to make sure it was okay. And it's fine. Amen. Oh, me. Luke chapter 9, leaving the past and looking to the future. In Luke chapter 9, verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said to another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at my home, at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for allowing us, Lord, to have this past year. Lord, it was filled with many opportunities for us to glorify your name, Lord. And certainly we could testify, Lord, of many who have gotten saved and baptized and joined the church, and Lord, many blessings that we've been able to experience personally, Lord, in the church, in our homes, Lord. And certainly, God, we thank you for those opportunities. But God, we're mindful of the fact that we have a new year in front of us. And Lord, it's exciting to be able to have a vision of what God can do in the new year, and certainly be looking forward to the opportunities that you're going to give us, Lord, to be a testimony of your grace. I pray, Lord, this morning you would speak to our hearts in a special way, Lord, that we might be able to let the past go. And, Lord, we might embrace the opportunities of the future. And, Lord, I pray if there's someone here today that's not saved, will you touch their heart, Lord, that they might come to faith in Christ. And may every believer here be stirred in their resolve, Lord, to live for you in 2018. And so I pray that you'd bless the preaching of the word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 62 is our text verse. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. And it's an amazing thing that oftentimes we want to keep continually looking backwards when God is telling us to look forward. It's a great verse. It really means much to someone who was a farmer, because of the fact when you're plowing, you can't keep looking back. You won't accomplish much, and you certainly will mess up the field if you're not watching where you're going. You have to have a vision, if you will. You need to have a focus on what's ahead of you and not worrying about what is in back of you. I remember the first time I drove a tractor and trailer. I was 16 years old. And the pin in the tractor and the trailer, if you're not careful, will bang back and forth. And I was worried about it, and I was fooling with it. And then my dad finally told me, he said, Boy, don't worry about the trailer in back of you. Just drive. It'll follow you wherever you go. And that's how I started driving tractor and trailer. I just didn't worry about what was in back of me. It's got to keep up with me. Amen. So you don't accomplish anything by looking back. The problem is oftentimes we're always wanting to focus on the past when God wants us to be looking to the future. He said, No man that has put his hand to the plow that's looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And so it's been said this, a quote I found said this, Don't look back. Something may be gaining on you, amen? And certainly, I don't want to be always looking back. Who knows? The person who's trying to get after me might be getting closer to me. The problems that seem to be oppressing me, instead of running away from them and getting away from them and having victory over them, may be gaining ground on me. And so I don't want to keep looking back in fear of what may be gaining. The Christian life is always presented in the Bible as a race. It's presented as something that's moving ahead. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us. And here it is, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. He's not talking about looking back at past opportunities and past race, but the race that's set before us. In verse 2, he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand on the throne of God. And so the Bible presents to us this opportunity to be able to press ahead because of the fact that we're in a great race. The Apostle Paul equated his life as being one that was in a race. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse 24, and Paul says this, that this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should also be a castaway. And the amazing thing is this, the Bible always is presenting this fact of moving ahead and striving to accomplish something. If you're going to exceed in your Christian life, you're going to succeed in your endeavors for Christ, you can't be looking back all the time. You got to be looking forward to what the Lord is going to do. You know, you cannot regain what you lost this past year. This evening will be the end of 2017. It is over. There's nothing else you can do in 2017. And so you can't look back to it. Ecclesiastes challenges us with two great thoughts here in this matter of striving and moving ahead and really addressing the issue of our life. First of all, it assesses, in chapter 1 of Ecclesiastes, it helps us to assess and evaluate our past accomplishments. In Ecclesiastes 1 and 2, it says, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man in all of his labors which he taketh under the sun? And when you look back and try to assess everything that you've accomplished or everything that you've done in this world, under the sun, in this world, he says it's nothing but vanity, it's empty. And then when you get to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and he starts to draw a conclusion in chapter 12 and verse 13, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And so when we talk about the past, we talk about the future, we talk about last year, we look at the new year, then we need to forget about the past and we need to look towards the future. And our striving, our determination ought to be, I'm going to obey God, I'm going to live for the Lord, because the only thing that has value and worth in life is what is accomplished for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to press forward to do better and greater things this new year. If we don't, it may depress you. I don't know about you. I don't like looking back and just getting depressed over things that I didn't accomplish in the years gone by. It does no good to sit down. Oftentimes we'll sit down and talk about life and you'll say, well, I remember when so-and-so did this, and I remember this situation I had to go through. And I don't know about you, it gets me depressed. I can't sit there and think about it and dwell on it all the time. But not only if it'll depress you, then it'll defeat you. If you allow the past to depress you about who you are in the present, then it's going to defeat your ability to be able to press forward in the future. And because you'll say, well, I tried to do something once and I failed. You know, life is a series of successes and failures. And there's been a multitude of things that I have tried to do in my personal life. There's a multitude of things I've tried to do in ministry that absolutely were a flop. I mean, absolutely failed. If I dwell on what I failed in, I will never strive to do something in the new year. Because I'll say, what's the sense in trying to do something in the new year? I failed before when I tried this. No, I need to leave the past. Amen. And I need to look to the future. And so that's what Jesus is impressing upon us in this teaching here in reference to no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. God has something great that he wants to do in your life, and you need to be ready to embrace that and grab a hold of it and move ahead in full steam. Amen. I don't like things that are slow. When I was a teenager, I bought a fast car. I like driving a fast car. Amen. Now, when I bought a tractor and trailer, I bought a truck that would run fast. Amen. I like everything going fast. I like keep moving along. I don't like dragging my feet. I mentioned last week, I grew up in I called it Funeral Baptist Church. And I tell you, that thing couldn't get any slower or go any farther backwards than what took place in that church. I like preaching fast. I like talking fast. Remember, I was in the Philippines. One dear lady came up to me and told me, "She said, preacher, you got to slow down. I can't get it if you don't slow down." I was like, "Okay." I'm thinking, how am I going to slow down? I like everything fast. I want to move ahead. I want to strive to do something for God in this new year. I don't want to sit around and do nothing. You know, it's a sad situation when we have people that just are satisfied to sit around and do nothing. Why don't we do something for God? Let's do something miraculous. Let's do something that's bold. Let's do something that's out of the box. Amen. Let's do something that is different. And I'm not saying compromise. I'm just saying do something. Amen. That'll bring glory to God. Need to leave the past and look to the future. Here's some points about this. I have 33 points for the new year. No, I don't. Number one, don't look back at sins that have been forgiven. Oh, we like to bring up our sins of the past and look over in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. If God has forgiven you some sins, then don't keep looking back at those sins. Well, I could never teach a class. You know, I fell into sin. No, if God has forgiven you, then look to what God can do in this new year. Don't look back at sins that have been forgiven. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, John is writing to the Christian. He's not writing to the unsaved. And he's saying, if you want to sit around and say you have no sin, you've just deceived yourself. If you want to sit around and say you have no sin, you're not speaking the truth. The reality is everyone has sinned. Every one of us in 2017 has sinned somewhere in our past. That's the first point there, Jack. Everyone has sinned. And there's not one person in this room that can boast that they did not sin in this past year. The reality is, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that without Christ, we are bound in our sin, but when we come to faith in Christ, then we're forgiven of all of our sins. If you have been saved this past year, don't look at your life and decide that I can't do anything for God because I was a wicked sinner this past year. Everybody has sinned. So what do? We need to determine to be pure. It's not a matter of embracing the sin and enjoying the sin and relishing in the sin. It is the fact that God has forgiven me, he has cleansed me, he has set me free, and so because he has set me free, I am a new creature in Christ, then I'm determining that I'm going to live a pure life. You know, the amazing thing is, I'm afraid sometimes testimonies, I like people's testimonies of when they got saved, but I think sometimes people embellish the sinful lifestyle because they enjoy talking about the sinful lifestyle rather than embracing the pure life that we receive through faith in Jesus Christ. And so stop looking at the sins that God forgave you. God forgave you the sins. He cleansed you and he released you from those sins. So stop looking back at them. I'll guarantee you, you look back at your old sin long enough, you're going to go back chasing after it. You cannot embellish your life on the past without it affecting you. And we need to let it go, amen, and look to what God's going to do in the new year. You say, well, I really stumbled and I fell. You know, the woman caught in adultery when she was brought before Jesus. He said, woman, where is thy accusers? She said, none accuse me. He said, neither do I condemn thee. He said, go. And he said this, sin no more.
He didn't tell her to go and relish in her sin. He didn't tell her to go and review her sin. He didn't tell her to do anything with that sin other than he forgave her, he cleansed her, and he said, now you have the ability to go future, go forward in the reality of a pure life. Go and sin no more. Don't look back at the sins that God has forgiven you. Every one of us sinned, determined to be pure. Confession brings about that cleansing. In verse 9 of verse John 1 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confession brings the cleansing, so commitment enables the sanctification. If I know that God has forgiven me of my sin, and I understand that he has washed me clean from all of my sin, then that determination to be pure develops a commitment that enables to be me holy and sanctified unto the Lord. And listen, every one of us need to grow in our sanctification. Sanctification is being separated from our sin, separated from this world, and separated unto our God. And that involves a commitment. You ought to have on your heart this right now, this new year, I'm going to be faithful to church. I'm going to be faithful to being a soul winner. I'm going to be faithful in my tithing. I'm going to be faithful living a life that's totally dedicated and surrendered unto God. Why? Because you say, well, wait a minute, I didn't do that way in 2017. Then bless God, forget about 2017 and embrace the opportunities to live for God in 2018. We need a commitment that enables true sanctification that takes place. You cannot be committed to sanctification when you're constantly thinking about all kinds of worldly stuff. You cannot be committed to sanctification when you're embracing all the temptations that the world lays out in front of us. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. We need an intellectual transfusion of the mind of God. Amen. We need to start thinking about life in light of what God says life is about. Well, you don't understand, man. I just blew it in 2017. Hey, tomorrow's 2018. Amen. So forget about the past and look to the future. Notice God removes our sin. And I'm thankful that not only does he forgive my sin, not only does he cleanse my sin, but he removes my sin. Now, I'm thankful for that. In Psalm 103, what a great chapter. It deals with this matter of God forgiving our sins and cleansing us and removing our sin from us. But in chapter 3 and verse 11 through 13, it says, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Then down in verse 17 it says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant and to those that remember his commandments to do them. It is an amazing thing that God removes our sin so that sin has no dominion over top of us. If he has released us, he has set us free from that bondage, then why would we allow ourselves to be succumb to that influence once again? So don't look back at sins that have been forgiven. You've been forgiven, you have been cleansed, and you've been released from the power of sin. If that's the case, then determined to be pure enables you to be committed for sanctification and live a life that's free from the domination of sin in your life. You know, when I went to Bible college, I smoked 3 packs of cigarettes a day. And when I went to Bible college, I had to learn how to get this flesh under the control of the Spirit of God so that I would not satisfy the lust of the flesh. I'm not going to live under the domination of that wicked smoking. I was an alcoholic and God delivered me from the alcohol. I am not going to submit myself to the domination of that wicked liquor again. It's the devil's drink and I'm not going to allow the devil to control me. And I don't care if the state of New Jersey legalizes marijuana or not. It's a drug that manipulates the mind of man and dominates and controls the character of man. Don't put yourself under it.
Dare I say anything about music? I don't want to offend anybody, so I won't. Yes, I will. Why would we allow ourselves to be under the domination of sinful lyrics and music that's in the world? Why? Why will we do that? Why would we allow peers in our life that are wicked to dominate and influence our thoughts and our actions? Why do we submit ourselves to those dominations when we're supposed to be submitting ourselves to the character and the person of Jesus Christ? Don't look back at the sins that will consume your life. You've been forgiven, you've been cleansed, and you've been released from them. So determine to look to the new year as a year of victory over our past sins. Notice also, don't look back at defeats that get you down. And oftentimes, there are failures in our life, and we are defeated, and it gets you down. I know when I started the church in 1984, we were there for 4 years, and we left there, and I'm going to tell you something. I felt like a wretch. I felt like a failure. It was the lowest point in my wife and I's life. Physically, we were completely drained. Spiritually, we were at the lowest point we had ever been since we had been saved. Financially, we were in trouble. I'm telling you, everything that you can imagine a person go through is what my wife and I went through when we left the church in Oakhurst and I turned it over to someone else. And I learned real quick that I was beating myself up over what I felt as though was a defeat and a failure. And God had to take a year to straighten me out. And when he got me straightened out, he gave me a church and we were blessed greatly as we ministered down in Divine and Creek. And I want you to know right now, there are things that every one of us has done this past year that puts the mindset that we have failed and we're defeated. Well, get up and do something for God. Psalm 37, verse 23, notice, acknowledge God's leadership in your life. Psalm 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. And if God is directing your life, and the Bible says he is, then why don't you just acknowledge the fact that God is leading you? And yes, he may lead you down a path, and as he's directing you, you may fail, but wait a minute, you can still live for the Lord and acknowledge the fact that he is the one who is providing the leadership in your life. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. That's where we get in trouble. We start thinking our own thoughts. What's the mind of God? What's the thoughts of God? Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The only way that I'm going to be able to enter into the new year looking at with a positive spirit is I got to acknowledge the fact that God is the one who directs my paths. Notice not only do we acknowledge God's leadership in your life, but you act upon God's strength in your life. In Psalm 37 and verse 24, it says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have found this. There's many places where I have stumbled and I have fallen. There's many places where I have failed, but I'm listening. I may fall apart tomorrow and I may fail tomorrow, and every endeavor that I strive to do in 2018, I may be a complete failure, but I'm going to tell you right now, I got a God in heaven who's going to pick me up and carry me regardless of it. So I'm going to act upon the fact that there's a God who's involved in my life. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 16. For a just man falleth seven times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. I'm thankful that I may stumble and fall. I don't need to look back at my defeats because God is the one who gets me up and keeps me moving ahead. Bless God. Listen, bless God. I don't care how discouraged you are. You can get up in the morning and talk to God. I don't care how much you feel like you're a failure. I'm going to tell you right now, if God's directing your life and he's the one that's strengthening you and he's the one that's picking you up, bless God, you can get up and do something for God. Notice we need to acquire confidence through life experiences. Psalm 37 verse 25 says, I've been young and now I'm old. I can identify with that. Yet I've not, here it is. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Now I'm going to tell you, I've seen God provide in a miraculous way. I've seen God be with me and bless me in ways that I could stand here for the next 6 months and tell you how God has moved in a great way. God is the one who is lifting us up through the life experiences. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5 says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Bless God in 2018. Remember this. You may have failed in 2017, but there's a God that's going to lift you up, and man can't stand against you. If God be for us, who can stand against us? You say, man, the world is getting wicked. I mean, it's getting vile. But the world just hates Christians. Well, I know a God who loves Christians. Amen. I know a God who's ready to bless if we'll just let him. Leave the past and look to the future. I don't want to hear nothing about, 2017. Forget it. It's gone. It's over. Get into 2018. Don't look back at defeats that get you down. Don't look back at sins that have been forgiven. Here it is. Number three, don't look back and see the past better than it was. I'm telling you, sometimes I look back in my life, I think, well, you know, it was so wonderful growing up on the farm. What are you talking about? Who wants to milk cows at 5 o'clock in the morning? I like it. I can get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and there's no cow waiting for me to milk them. Amen. Oh, it must have been so nice. Yeah, you go in there and sit down between those smelly things and see what's going on there. I'm just saying this. I'm going to get off of that one before I get myself into trouble. Oftentimes I thought, boy, I see the kids go off to college, off to Bible college, and I often think, boy, I'd be so excited about going back to college again. And I think, you some kind of a nut? Going to school at 7:30 in the morning and getting done school at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, noon, going to work at 3:30 in the afternoon, getting home at 2 o'clock in the morning and doing that over and over again. And Saturdays get up and go soul winning and bus ministry until 12, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, come home and eat and go back to work and get off work at 2 or 3 in the morning and then get back to church at 7 in the morning to drive the bus on Sunday morning and to be able to pick people up. And the bus breaks down and you got to crawl underneath of it in your suit and try to put the clutch back together. Oh man, I'll tell you, I can't wait to go back to Bible college. I like my office just the way it is, just fine. Don't look back and see the past as being better than what it was. Why? An inflated past will deceive you in the present. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 10 says, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and they want as an armed man. Don't look at the past as being something. Whoa, that's Proverbs. I'm saying that verse doesn't sound like the verse I want. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Oh, here we go. Verse 10, say that not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. People say, oh, the good old days. They might have been good to a degree, but I'm going to tell you one thing. God has given us great opportunities today. Do you realize the amount of resources we have today? Do I remember when I first got saved and I was in Bible college, I had to write everything out. I had to get all these books piled up and trying to study and write it out so where my wife could understand it, to type it and all this, that, and the other. Man, we thought we had something because we had an electric typewriter. Amen. And we're going through it all. Wait a minute. I like going on the internet and being able to look at all these books on the screen at one time and not have to carry them. Amen. I like being able to do the research that I can and getting statistics and quotes and all this, that, and the other at my fingertips. Oh, the past was so much better. I don't know what past you had. I kind of like enjoy the present. Amen. And I'm looking forward to the new year. An inflated past will deceive you in the present. And this is why. Here's a quote for you. Distant lends enchantment. Yeah, we always think the past is always better than what it was. Here's another one. Nostalgia is never quite honest. You know, sometimes I have to smack myself and say, well, wait a minute, is that really how it took place or am I making that up in my mind? I like what Vance Havner said. He said, the present is never as good as it used to be. Oh, I remember back when there was revivals in the church. Well, why can't we have revival today? The God who brought revival in years gone by is the same God can bring revival today. Why don't we stop rejoicing over and relishing and bathing ourselves in all the historical context and aspect of all these great revivals that have happened around the world and here in the United States? And why don't we say this? 2018 is the year of revival in Ocean County Baptist Church, because I'm going to look to God to do something that's out of my control. Well, I just like reading the books about revival. You understand, those people had revival, did something to get the revival. They were on their faces before God praying. They were studying the Word of God. They were soul winning. They were doing everything that was necessary to pursue the holiness of God. And I'm going to tell you, when they did that, God came down. And God can do that in 2018. So an inflated past will deceive you in the present. Imitated past will defeat you. We won't turn over there, but you can look at these verses. Numbers chapter 11, verses 4 through 20, deals with Israel constantly reminiscing about the past and wanting to embrace the things they experienced in Egypt. Oh, we remember, we were in Egypt, and we had fish to eat, and we had onions and leeks. I don't want to eat those things, amen. And we had all this to eat in Egypt, all wood that we were back there, because all we have to eat here is this manna, and we loathe this manna. It was bread from heaven. What was the problem? They had an inflated aspect and memory of the past that wasn't true. They were slaves. They were in bondage. They went to sleep when they were told. They got up when they were told. They ate when they were told. They only ate what was given to them. They had no control in their life, but now God is directing them. So what does God do? God said, I'll give you, you want meat? I'll give you meat. He said, I'll give you quail, not for one day, not for 2 days, or not for 3 days. He said, I'm going to give it to you for a month, and you're going to have so much quail that it's going to stink in your nostrils. You're not going to want the quail. So we wanted to go ahead and just try to build up the past bigger than what it is. It's going to defeat you and beat you down where you'll never do anything for God right now. And God wants to use you. Here's another thing. Don't look back at old conflicts that make you bitter. Every one of us have a situation in our past that we can reminisce over. And boy, the bitterness, the temper, the inflection in the voice, boy, it just changes when we say so-and-so's name. Things that have happened in the past that make you bitter, get out of them, get over it, and move ahead. Notice, first of all, you will hinder the work of the Holy Spirit in you if you allow bitterness to constantly well itself up because of your experiences in the past. Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. May I say that verse is a building verse? If you got bitterness, you'll develop wrath. If you got wrath, you'll be consumed with anger. If you're consumed with anger, you'll be overwhelmed with clamor and evil speaking. And he says this, to put it away from you. I don't care who hurt you or what experience you had in 2017, but I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't let it go, it will destroy you. If you don't let it go, it will well up in bitterness in your heart to where the Spirit of God will be grieved in you. And God can't move in your life because of it. Not only will you hinder the work of the Holy Spirit in you, but you will infect wounds that will destroy you. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 16, Paul tells Timothy, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and the word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus." And what's Paul saying? He's just saying this, if you continue to relish the bitterness of the past, the hurts and the conflicts of the past, all you're going to do is embrace a lifestyle that is going to eat you up as a canker eats you up. It'll inflict wounds upon you. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, he said this first of all to him. He says, "But refuse profane and wise, old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." You know, what would be a good thing for you to do is get rid of some of these television and radio preachers' literature that you have and throw it in the trash. It's nothing but profane fables and all kinds of false doctrine. And it's bothering you and it's tripping you up. And so-and-so says this and so-and-so says that. And then you get offended about it and bitterness wells up and it ruins your life. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20, Paul says, "O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be unto thee. Amen." And so watch out for the past conflicts that'll cause wounds that will destroy you. Over the years, I've had people ask me stupid questions. I tell you, this stuff you read it on the internet. It's stuff that they'll ask questions and they want to know about something that the Bible doesn't address. There's no way you're going to get an answer to it. And you want to sit there and be argumentative and try to debate with you about it. You know what? Stop debating about it and take what you know and go out and share it with people and lead them to Christ. You got to get over the past. You cannot let bitterness render wounds that will destroy you. I could stand up here for the next 6 hours and tell you of people who have wounded my spirit, who have wounded my soul, who have done wrong to me, and I'm going to tell you, if I allow myself to think about them and think about those situations, I'll never focus on getting something from God. Right. Don't look back at old conflicts. They're done. Move ahead. Don't start another conflict, but amen. Get involved with the Lord and let God do something special in your life. Not only will the conflicts hinder the work of the Holy Spirit and wound you, but it will hinder true worship that is needed in you. You need to worship God. It's amazing over the years I've heard people say, "Well, I just can't come to church." Years ago I had this one person told me, he said, "Well, I can't come to church because so-and-so's still in the church." I'm like, "What is wrong with you?" "Well, you know, they did me wrong and we had this situation. I'm going to another church." I said, "You're not right with God." I prayed about it. I'm amazed how spiritual people get when they make unspiritual decisions. I prayed about it. "Oh, so you prayed about God allowing you to do something that violates Scripture. And God said, okay, do it." Don't falsely accuse God. And listen, you need to take time to worship the Lord without the conflicts of the bitterness from the past. And that doesn't mean leave the church. Because when you leave the church, you take your problems with you. And you're going to mess up somebody else's church. So stay here. We can deal with it. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 23.
Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. What's he saying? You better get things right. Because if you don't get over the past conflicts, it would create bitterness in you that's going to wound you and destroy you. And so don't look back at old conflicts that'll make you bitter. And here's the last thought. Don't look back at old victories that may cause you to think you've arrived. You know, some people, you know, that's all, well, you know, I taught this Sunday school class, and boy, I'll tell you what, it was a very good success, and I know I can do more than this. Whoa, wait a minute. Don't get puffed up in pride. You may be victorious in the past. You may not have had one single problem. You may have made $6 million this past year. Hallelujah, pay our building off. Amen. But you listen, this year you could lose it all. This year everything could fall apart. So don't look back on old victories that may cause you to think that you have arrived. I remember this fellow when I was in Bible college. All he did was talk about every week how many people he led to the Lord. I mean, he had his spiritual belt with the notches on it. That's all he did, was talk about all these people that he led to the Lord. And all he did was gloat about all these people he led to the Lord. Supposedly led the Lord. I never saw any of them come to church. You know where he's at now? He's not in ministry now. I don't even think he lasted 6 years in ministry. You can't gloat over victories in the past. Hallelujah. Maybe he did leave them to the Lord. But if that's all you're going to do is keep looking back at what you did, then you're never going to be striving to accomplish something right now. And God wants to do something miraculous in your life. And so don't look at past victories that may cause you to think you've arrived. Why? It will cause you to refuse personal satisfaction in the Lord. Notice Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. Paul says, not as though I have already attained, either or were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Paul is saying this, I am not going to be so involved in gloating in the victories of the past to where I'm going to just literally refuse to be satisfied in Christ. That chapter, we dealt with that chapter 4 in Sunday school, learning to be content. You will not be content in your Christian life if all you're doing is looking at the past and saying, this is how successful I was in the past, and it's just not happening right now. It's amazing. Over the years, I've beat myself up because I track church growth. I study church growth. And churches go through ups and downs. Churches get on plateaus. Churches, you know, I'm not excusing or embracing anything at all. I'm just saying things do change. And every year is not exactly the same. But if all you're going to do is gloat about what you've done in the past, you're not going to do anything in the present. So don't allow your victories of the past to cause you to refuse to be personally satisfied with Christ. Notice also, it will motivate you to remain committed to personal maturation. In other words, just growing and maturing in the Lord. Paul said, I've not arrived, but his desire was to achieve more. He says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul never was satisfied where he was spiritually. He wanted to grow and mature in his walk with God. The greatest thing you can do for this new year is don't look at the past and say, I've memorized 2,345 Bible verses. And so I know the word of God. No, this year you need to learn 6,432 verses in the Bible. You say, well, wait a minute. You got to be pressing on, because if you're not maturing, I have personal goals that I set in my life. There's personal goals I have right now, what I want to achieve in my Christian life for this new year, what I want to accomplish as a pastor in this new year. And I guarantee you, at the top of the list is I want to mature my walk with God. I want to be more Christ-like. I don't want to look walk around and say, well, man, I've been saved since 1979, and boy, I'll tell you what, I've learned a lot. You know what I found? The more I learn, the less I know. And I need to mature in the Lord. Don't you think for 1 minute that you've arrived, because you haven't arrived. Well, the church is blessed to have me here. No, you're blessed that we allow you to come here. Don't look back at past victories. I always get tickled when different people come in. Sometimes they come in, they've come in boasting about all that they've done. Why don't we just glorify the Lord? Why don't we strive to bring people to Christ? Why don't we stop boasting about our past victories? Because if you don't, you'll cease to mature in the Lord. I need Jesus. That's what I need. I need Jesus. And I need to be more like him. Well, don't look back at old victories. Here's the last thought. If you don't look back at the victories, and it'll enable you to remember our goal is personal emulation. In other words, we're to be molded into the image of Christ. We're to be like Jesus. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 15, let us therefore as many as be perfect, which the word perfect means mature, be thus minded. So he's saying this is how you're going to be able to identify your maturity in Christ. Be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. So Paul's just saying this. Don't look at your past victories and feel that you've already arrived. We need to keep pressing forward. Need to keep pressing for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We need to keep allowing ourselves to be molded in the image of God. We cannot sit and say and boast, and 2017 was a great year spiritually for me, and so I'm okay now. No, it was a great year spiritually for you, then you're set up and ready to move ahead. God has something else he wants to do. He's something else he wants you to experience. There's something else he wants you to accomplish. There's something else he wants you to be able to enjoy in becoming like Christ. So Jesus said, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Folks, we can't keep looking back. We need to keep looking forward. You know, I always get tickled. Churches, all churches do that. You know, well, we've never done it that way before. Stop worrying about how you did it in the past. You know, it's okay to do something different in the future. Amen. So-and-so did this and so-and-so did that. I know churches have pastors come in and take the church, and the pastor fails because all the church does is remember about the pastor was there before him. You know, and bless God, I've been here for 22 years. Hallelujah, you've been gracious to let me stay for 22 years. I ain't going anywhere, so don't be thinking about it. You're going to have problems with a new preacher. But leaving the past and looking to the future, I'm looking to 2018 like this is my first year here.
Amen.
God has something he wants to do, something great he wants to do. You have a Sunday school class. Let me ask you, what is your goal for your Sunday school teachers? What is your goal for your Sunday school class this new year? Have you even thought about it? Let me ask you, choir, what is your goal in singing praises unto God this year in the choir? Let me ask you, church member, what is your goal of how God's going to use you in this new year? God has something he wants to do in your life. He really does. I look across here, I see so much talent. I see so much potential. I see what God can do. I see a mighty army for God. If we'll just say, wait a minute, I'm going to stop worrying about what went on in the past, and I'm going to look to the new year. God has new opportunities for me to glorify his name. Why? Because you're not fit for the kingdom of God if you're going to constantly be looking back at the past.
And so let's press forward, amen. Let's launch out into this new year with a zeal and an excitement and a thrill that God is still with us and God's going to do something miraculous in each one of us. I don't know what that may be, but I know this, that God can do something miraculous in your life if you'll just let the past go and look at what God has for us in the future. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that we can let things go and we can launch out anew. I'm thankful, Lord, that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I'm thankful, Lord, that this is a new year. I'm thankful, Lord, that when we get saved, we have a new life. Lord, I'm just thankful that, God, you give us so many new opportunities to be able to glorify your name. Help us not to get distracted. Help us to be focused. Help us to be determined. Help us to be surrendered. Oh, God, help us to be people of faith, believing God for things that are beyond our control. And I pray that the name of Jesus be lifted up. We pray this for his glory and for his sake. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's